Welcome to the Criminal Tax Files, where we talk about criminal tax investigations, prosecutions, and everything else in between. I'm your host, Robert Nordlander. I spent over 20 years with IRS criminal investigations, and only IRS can investigate criminal tax violations. And today's subject is going to be administrative or grand jury. That is the question. IRS criminal investigations is part of the Internal Revenue Service, and there are two tracks in which they can investigate a tax crime. One is administratively, which means internally, or it could be done via the grand jury, which would be the Assistant United States Attorney would be in charge of the investigation. At the end of the day, both end up at the same place, which is an indictment. So they're parallel for a little while, but after a while, they do converge into the indictment stage. For the administrative, when a special agent is investigating a tax crime administratively, it is easier to open because it's just really a formality of a little bit of paperwork and then management approves it. It's not that hard to open, and it's also not that hard to close. In addition, whenever there's a disclosure issue, for example, if the agent decides to close the case and there is no indictment going on, they can refer the files back to civil side, and that civil side can take that information and run with it and do their tax collection or their assessments or that type of thing. So there are times where the case doesn't need to be closed, and the civil side can get a hold of the documents. And imagine an investigation being completed for 6 months, and for some reason IRSCI closes it. Well, they can turn over all that information to the civil side, and then civil side can run with their tax collection function. They also, it's a typical starting point for fraud referrals. When the civil side actually thinks they have a potential fraud that they believe needs to be investigated criminally, they turn over that information to the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigations, and IRSCI will then turn right around and open up, typically, an administrative case immediately. That's the easiest way to open up. And for the most part, fraud referrals are based on legal source income, which means the plumber, the doctor, the lawyer, the CPA, whoever's not paying their fair share of taxes or trying to evade taxes. It's usually a legal source issue. And so therefore, the civil side will turn it over and IRSCI will open up an admin case or administrative case. Now, the agent doing the investigation really only has two options in this situation: investigate it or close it. They do not have any negotiation power for charges. So if a defense attorney comes in and says, I want to negotiate, the answer is, no, can't do that. Either you confess or we continue going on, because there is no plea negotiations at all. A matter of fact, IRSCI is not even allowed to even entertain the idea. It's up to the defense to come to the special agent to say that they want to plead guilty. And in that situation, there still has to be some type of confession, turn over all the documents in order for it to go forward. So the special agent really has two options: investigate it or close it. There's no wiggle room at all. Now, why do I say this? Because if you're a defense attorney and you have a case that's an administrative, just realize there's no wiggle room here. Either they investigate it or they close it. So trying to negotiate a deal, it's just not going to happen at all. In addition, because of disclosure rules and regulations, the agent cannot discuss this case with a federal prosecutor. They cannot do it at this point in time. They can issue a summons versus a grand jury subpoena, but a summons is really what they call Form 2039, which is what revenue officers and revenue agents would also use to compel testimony and get some documents. But that summons can be issued right there on the spot. Many times when I was a special agent, I would have a blank summons in my back pocket. And when I do an interview, or maybe someone says, I don't want to turn their records over, I can handwrite that summons and hand it to them immediately. And I don't have to worry about going through the process of getting an attorney involved. I had the authority and the power to do so at that moment. Just sign a document and say, give it to me. Of course, there's a sunset clause, like 20 days or 30 days to give me the information. But the point being is I could issue it immediately versus waiting for someone else to issue it for me. And in addition, with the administrative case, there's also the element of what I call leaving a breadcrumb trail. In some situations, when a summons is being issued administratively for a tax investigation, a third party record keeper, and that's like the accountant, the banks, credit card companies, those type of companies, when the agent does this, is required to turn over notice to the taxpayer. So there's no way to do an administrative case covertly. The defendant or the subject of the investigation will know that they are actually being investigated. So you can't do anything covertly. So anything covertly can't happen in an administrative case. I spent over 20 years as a special agent with IRS criminal investigation. And during conferences between a federal prosecutor and defense attorney, I was the resource that both attorneys relied on, which put the defense at a disadvantage. That is why I wrote the book, Criminal Tax Secrets, What Every Defense Attorney Should Know. This book is an insider's guide to evaluating every stage of a criminal tax investigation. From the civil audit to sentencing, you will know what questions to ask, what documents to review, and the common weaknesses in every tax investigation. Criminal Tax Secrets, What Every Defense Attorney Should Know. Get your paperback or Kindle version today, only at Amazon. Now let's talk about grand jury. If the case is grand jury, well, there's a reason for it. Number one is it can start as an administrative case and then be elevated to grand jury because of its complexity. For example, if the agent sees that there is maybe some seizure of assets that need to be done, or there's a conspiracy to break up because someone has to get a deal in order to bust up this conspiracy and get the truth out, then a federal prosecutor needs to be on board in order to do so. Or if there's obstruction, whether it's obstruction of records, there needs to be some type of immediate action taken. A federal prosecutor can go from a judge, can get in a grand jury. It's a lot quicker that way versus a regular agent. An agent can't just show up to the judge and request him or certain rulings. It's just not going to happen. In that case, the AUSA would be able to do so. And in addition, DOJ Tax Division is also aware of a grand jury investigation. Now, depending on the type of case, DOJ Tax Division may be just CC'd on the email or CC'd on a letter, or they may have to approve it. But the bottom line is the DOJ Tax Division is aware when there's a grand jury investigation. But the grand jury also uses a subpoena versus a summons for administratively. The grand jury uses a grand jury subpoena. And on the very top, it says grand jury subpoena. And that's how you know the difference between an admin and grand jury case is depending on the records used. For admin, it's a summons. For grand jury, it's a grand jury subpoena. Some of the things to deal with the grand jury, it is harder to close. Of course, if there's a fatal flaw in the case, it's going to be closed. But it is harder to close if you're a defense attorney and you're trying to get the prosecutor to close this case. It's going to be more difficult. For the most part, it's because the AUSA has to be sold. It's no longer just the agent, but the federal prosecutor has to be sold to close this. And many times, once CI is involved, it's because the federal prosecutor has asked CI to be involved. And in addition, once a federal prosecutor asks CI to be involved, there's a letter that goes in the file saying, we want CI to help us on this case. And then CI will take a look at it, and then they'll turn right around and agree or disagree. For the most part, they would agree, and things would move forward. But CI does not want to waste its time on a bad case. So there probably is some type of legs or validity to the allegations once CI is involved in a grand jury investigation. And typically, like I said, the grand jury is because a source is a U.S. Attorney's Office or another agency involved. There's another agency, the Bureau, the DEA, Secret Service, or maybe even local department is involved and they want CI's help. Well, in order to share tax information, it has to officially be a grand jury investigation. Which comes to this, many times the federal prosecutors will use IRS criminal investigations as a checkmate against the defendant. Many times, and I've seen this quite often, the government has a hard time proving the illegal activity. They know what's going on. They just have a hard time with it. It could be witnesses, it could be willfulness. But the bottom line is they can prove the tax because whether it's illegal income or legal income, it's all taxable. And most likely, if it's illegal income, it's not on the tax return at all. CI is used as checkmate against the defendant. So they may not be able to prove the wire fraud or maybe the Ponzi scheme or maybe there's some little technical issue to deal with, but the person get the money? Yes. They spend the money? Yes. Well, there's probably a tax crime involved. And you can also share tax information with the grand jury. Having a tax returns, you can talk about this with the Bureau, the DEA, whoever's on the grand jury investigation can also know what the tax information is about and can also help on interviews and that type of thing. In addition, there's secrecy involved with a grand jury subpoena. The federal government is not allowed to share what's going on in the grand jury process. In the administrative case, remember I told you about the breadcrumb trails, you have to leave that for certain witnesses. In a grand jury, it's total secrecy. So you can go covertly for quite a few months or years using a grand jury process. It's not going to happen with the administrative case. In addition, if the grand jury is closed, whether it's closed because there's no indictment or after sentencing, then that file of all those tax documents and all the financial documents cannot go back to the civil side. The civil side cannot know what the grand jury has done, what information he received, what documents he received. It cannot know that. The federal rules of criminal procedure called 6E, they call it 6E rules, will not allow that. So unless there's a court order, and I've never seen a court order, no federal prosecutor wants to go to the judge and say, please let us disclose information to the civil side. It just doesn't happen that way. Good or bad for the defense attorney? If CI is involved in a grand jury investigation, well, sometimes a tax case or pleading to tax charges may be the better option. It just depends. But I will tell you this, that most likely when CI is involved in a grand jury investigation, the tax charges are going to stick. They only do so many cases a year. And if they're involved in a grand jury investigation, it's because the AUSA probably wants them involved. And with the resources that CI has or the lack of resources, it's just not going to go away. So if there is a way that maybe the tax charges are the better charges, it may be better to just plead guilty to the tax charges versus the other criminal violations. So there you go. Grand jury or administrative? It does make a difference. And if you are a defense attorney, it does have its pros and cons. Just something that you should know about. So next time you hear about IRS CI having an investigation, ask yourself, is it grand jury or administrative? It does make a difference. But in the long run, it still all goes to the indictment stage and ultimately to court. Thank you for listening to the Criminal Tax Files. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us a review. The Criminal Tax Files podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not legal or financial advice. If you are facing a criminal tax investigation, please seek legal assistance or contact us for a referral. The Criminal Tax Files is a production of Nordlander CPA, PLLC, a forensic accounting firm near Greensboro, North Carolina. To learn more about our services, please visit us at nordlandercpa.com or visit the show notes in this episode.